to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There's no doubt that the abortion rate has been falling. The question of why is, it's got to be more than simply academic. It's interesting, but is it important, especially with the prospect of a post-Roe America, perhaps ahead for us, to know why it is people's minds are changed, therefore their behavior changed when it comes to the issue of abortion? We're going to be talking about the effects of pro-life legislation on the declining abortion rates. Joining us to do so, Dr. Michael New. He's visiting assistant professor at the Bush School of Business at the Catholic University of America, associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Yes, Legislation and Education Do Effectively Reduce Abortion Rates. Dr. New, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Explain the basic difference between the number of abortions and the abortion rate and why that distinction is important.
Number of abortions simply is the number of abortions, surgical and chemical, that are performed every year. And the abortion rate is the percentage of women of childbearing age, that's usually between 15 to 44, the number of those women per thousand who get abortions in any given year. So that's roughly speaking, the rate, roughly speaking, is the percentage of women of childbearing age who get an abortion in any given year.
Why is that the rate important?
The rate's important because it effectively holds population constant. Sometimes numbers can fluctuate based on the number of women of childbearing age who are part of the general population. So sometimes there's a population surge, you know, the number of abortions will go up, basically just based on population numbers, even if the percentage of women getting abortions is going down. So the good thing about the rate is it kind of gives you an insight about the percentage of women of childbearing age who obtain an abortion any given year.
You and Christopher Humphrey have been writing back and forth publicly a little bit recently. What explanation has Humphrey recently offered for the 50% decline in the abortion rate since 1980?
Yes, sir. Humphrey wrote an article in the Federalist that came out earlier this week, and he argues that it's increases in the number of pregnancy help centers that are driving abortion numbers down. Right now, we have about 2,700 pregnancy help centers throughout the country. They do terrific work assisting women who face unplanned pregnancies but don't want to seek an abortion. So obviously, they're doing very good, very important work, and pro-lifers everywhere should support their local PRC. But that said, I think there's other explanations as well. Pro-lifers are doing a lot of other important work, too, and that's playing an important role as well.
You say that Humphrey's article may underestimate the effects of pro-life legislation. What do you mean?
Right. I mean, he looks at some of the studies I've done. I've done think tank studies for Heritage Foundation and Family Research Council. I published in academic journals like State Politics and Policy Quarterly. And he tallies up the laws I look at and says that the impact of the law is only kind of these different laws is only a small fraction of the overall decline. And I think he's missing a couple things here. The first thing I think he's missing is that I don't look at every kind of pro-life law. I look at some of the most common. There's other kinds of pro-life laws that I've not been able to look at carefully just due to timing. So it's a little bit of an incomplete data set that Humphrey's working with. Second mistake is that laws can serve more than one purpose. I mean, sometimes the legal weight of the law may stop an abortion, but sometimes laws can change hearts and minds. You know, I think that in the mid to late 1990s, we had the debate over the federal partial birth abortion ban. And I think that really affected the way people viewed the issue. You now had pictures of aborted children in newspapers, on magazines, on television, and it couldn't be ignored. And I think that shifted public opinion in a more pro-life direction. So sometimes legislation can affect things, not just the weight of the law, but the way people see a certain issue as well.
Can even debating the prospect of the law have that effect?
Sure, definitely. I think a lot of people don't really realize how permissive abortion laws are in this country. A lot of people don't know that it's possible to obtain a third trimester abortion. A lot of people don't know that in some states, taxpayers pay for abortions for women on Medicaid. So I think that simply just the debate about these things again raises the salience of this issue. I think abortion policy is a lot more extreme, a lot more permissive than what a lot of people would like or prefer. So I think just raising these issues certainly does the pro-life cause some good.
How has pro-life legislation actually helped pregnancy help centers themselves?
Yeah, I think it's important to know that, I mean, we all kind of are interdependent and we all kind of have to interact with each other. Pregnancy help centers are really coming under attack, especially in more quote-unquote liberal parts of the country, that a lot of Democrats, many of whom get donations from groups like Planned Parenthood and NARAL, they've been really critical of pregnancy help centers. They want pregnancy help centers to advertise the fact that the state will often pay for abortions for low-income women. You know, they want to do other things to kind of regulate and hamper the ability of pregnancy help centers to reach out to abortion-minded women. So we had to fight back through litigation. We've had to fight back through legislation. Again, pregnancy help centers, especially in liberal states, are kind of under a lot of scrutiny, and we need good legislative efforts to protect them and the efforts they engage in.
So describe, if you would, the changes in abortion attitudes that have taken place within key demographic groups.
Right. I think overall we have seen a shift in public opinion in a more pro-life direction. Gallup polls have shown that. The General Social Survey has shown that. What I find most interesting is we've seen a real shift in the attitudes of young people. The General Social Survey has been asking the exact same six questions on abortion either every year or every other year since 1971. And when they conducted these polls in the 70s, they found that young people ages 18 to 29 tend to give answers that indicate they are the most sympathetic to legal abortion. But starting in 2000, things flipped. When they asked the same set of questions, young people gave a set of answers that indicated they were the most opposed to abortion. So between the 70s and today, you saw a real flip in the way young people view the issue. And since most abortions are performed on young women, you know, the fact that the attitudes of young people are changing may have an impact on lower abortion rates that we now see.
How would you describe the relationship between the falling abortion rate and then what has been established, the increase of pregnancy help centers?
Well, again, I think that pregnancy help centers are doing a superb job. I certainly think they're playing a role. I think this is a rich source of research that I'm going to look into, and I hope others look into as well. I'm not dismissing or trying to downplay their importance. I'm just saying that there's a lot of good pro-life efforts out there. Pregnancy help centers are playing a role in getting abortion numbers down. But I think it's also important to realize that educational legislative efforts have a track record of success and are playing an important role as well.
Do you think it could be, well, it's a chicken and egg question, which I'm sure is very complicated to answer in terms of research, that the rise in the number of crisis pregnancy centers has been the result of changing attitudes?
Right. I think that to a certain extent, you may well be correct. The fact there are, more women who, don't want to pursue abortion, who may need different kinds of help, whether it's economic help or spiritual assistance or other kinds of assistance. I think that churches and other charities have come to realize that, and that probably has spurred the creation of pregnancy help centers. I know that a lot of the groups like Heartbeat, like CareNet, are really interested in trying to kind of extend their efforts in the inner cities because they realize the abortion rate in the cities, especially amongst African-American women, tends to be high, and I think there's kind of more need for some of their services there. So I think that, again, it's kind of a chicken and egg question. Trying to parse this out exactly is going to be tough to do. But, again, there's a lot of important work to be done in the pro-life movement, and everyone's playing a good role. We need educational efforts. We need legislation. We need pregnancy help centers. We need people to pray. We need people to raise money. We need people to give money. All the pro-life work that's being done is important.
Why is it important, especially with the real possibility of overturning Roe v. Wade, that we have actual solid research into why and how minds are changed on abortion?
I mean, I think that after Roe v. Wade's overturned, and again, I'm not necessarily predicting that in the short term necessarily, that it's hard to really say what kind of cases the court might take and how they'll rule in any case. But I think what you'll certainly see is that there's a good chance the Supreme Court's going to be a lot more willing to uphold certain kinds of state-level pro-life laws that they were not willing to uphold previously. And I think that creates some more opportunities for pro-lifers to do certain things to protect the unborn. And I think that we need good research trying to figure out what legislative strategies are most effective. You know, there's a variety of reasons to pass any kind of law. You know, we're trying to change hearts and minds. Some laws are designed to be a good legal challenge to Roe v. Wade or other decisions. But again, I think if we have more opportunities, we need to pray and think critically about which strategies might be best.
Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor at the Bush School of Business at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Yes, Legislation and Education Do Effectively Reduce Abortion Rates. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. New, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
On the other side of the break, we're going to take up a conversation with Dr. Ken Sherb. We're going to be talking with him about something he's observed over the last 30 years or so inside the church. It's a trend that was wildfire in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s outside the church, policy-based governance. What is it, and does it fit as a strategy for governing church bodies? We'll be right back.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution? I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Classical Liberal Studies major at Concordia University Chicago challenges you, through rigorous coursework, to connect history and innovation, applying classical concepts to a contemporary setting. Adding a minor in classical pedagogy will equip you to teach in classical schools and homeschools, drawing on Concordia Chicago's rich Lutheran heritage in the liberal arts. Learn more and apply now at cuchicago.edu.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.